Well, thanks, Wayne. I appreciate that. And thank you for all your prayers. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 16. This is the first, the very first time that I've taught Sunday school. This is the message that I used, and it is something that has always, a text that has always been close to me. Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, since he is Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to talk to you tonight about, and this is the title of my message, three things in hell that should be found in every born-again believer. It has always been my passion to see lost people come to Christ. And this past week, or Friday night, Pastor Wayne came to me and he said, what are you preaching on? He said, I just want to make sure that we're not preaching the same thing. Because he had a feeling that I might be preaching on winning the lost or preaching on hell or something like that. And afterwards I thought, what a reputation to have. That's the reputation that I want when I die. I want to be known to have led souls to Christ. I want to be known because I had a burden for lost people. Because I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I love people. Before we get into the message tonight, I want to help you to get a feel of what hell might be like. Someone once said, there is no way to describe hell. Nothing on earth can compare with it. No living person has any real idea of it. No madman in his wildest flights of insanity ever beheld its horror. No murder scene could touch the borderlands of hell. Let the most gifted writer exhaust his skill in describing this roaring cavern of unending flame, and he would not even brush in the fancy the nearest edge of hell. An atheist once cried, I would rather lie on a stove and broil for 1,000,000 years than to go into eternity with the eternal horrors that hang over my soul. Well, if you think about that, laying on a stove and broiling for a million years, I want you to think with me, when was there a time that you had pain that was almost unbearable? You thought you couldn't hardly bear it anymore. I want you to think with me of a time that happened to you. That doesn't even come close to laying on a stove and broiling for a million years. But even that doesn't even come close to what hell is going to be like. Why don't we preach on hell more? Why don't we hear about hell except for in the workplace when people are cussing? I almost felt like when I told somebody tonight that I was going to be preaching on hell, I almost felt like I said a cuss word, because that is what it is anymore. It's a cuss word. That's about the only time that we hear from it. Tom Wallace, he's a preacher, a great preacher. He was visiting a hospital one time, and he found this man on his knees, down on his hands, folded up on his bed, and he didn't move. He laid there, and Tom asked him, "Sir, are you praying?" And the man said, "No, preacher. My back is so burned, and this is the only position that I can get into in order to have relief." And for several days, Tom Wallace visited this man every day, and every time he found this man down on his bed, folded over, with his head down on his knees, and this was the only way that he got any kind of relief. In hell, there is no relief. I have often thought, if we could just, as Christians, if we could just get within a quarter mile of hell and we could see that roaring flame coming up out of that pit that we read about in the Bible, if we could just get within a quarter mile of that pit and feel the heat and hear the screaming, if we could just for a few seconds stand there and feel that immense heat, feel the brimstone, which I looked in the dictionary today, brimstone is sulfur. And imagine getting that brimstone, that sulfur on you. I think it's something like acid. Or, you know, we're talking so much about the Middle East, how they got these bombs that, I can't think of the name, can't think what they call it, but if it gets on you, it just literally burns you up. Nuclear weapons. If we could just get within a quarter mile of this and feel it and hear the screaming, would it help us to be more concerned for the lost? And I want you to imagine with me, just for a moment, that we were able to see a physical picture of this pit of hell. And I want you to think with me as you imagine, you know, as little kids, sometimes we imagine things, we sat and we daydream. Now, that's what I want you to do. I want you to daydream with me. Let's just think that we were just sitting outside the pit of hell and we could see throngs, millions of people lined up, live people like us, human beings. And they were in a steady file going towards that pit. And we could see the end. And as they came to a certain place, they dropped off and went down into the pit. Never, never, never to return. Forever in hell. Think with me. Does that get you concerned tonight? It concerns me. If you watch long enough, you'll even see some of your friends, some of the peoples you work with, some of your family in that throng of people and falling in. What's it going to take to open our eyes and cause us to tremble? What's it going to take to help us to become concerned with the lost people? What is it going to take for us to become concerned with our lost dad and our lost mom, our lost brother and sister and co-worker and friend? What's it going to take to see the person next to us as a living soul? We're around them all the time and we get used to them, and you know, we get up day after day and we go about our things and we kind of forget about the eternal thing. But what's it going to take for us to look over to the man beside us or the woman and see that person as a living soul that will live forever and ever? What's it going to take to quit us, to help us get us to quit playing church, just coming here together? It's tradition to come here Sunday morning for Sunday school and the Sunday morning service and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. It's so much tradition that we do the same things over and over. And when somebody else does something a little bit different, we get cranky right away. And what's it going to take to get us to quit playing church and get really concerned for lost ones?